Hi, I'm Christopher.
Hi, everybody. This is Bob.
Hey, guys. This is Stephanie Shea.
Hey, I'm Veronica Taylor.
Hey, everybody. This is Billy West.
Hey, guys. I'm Ryan Coltley.
Hi, this is Kyle Aber.
Hi, this is Kira Buckley.
Hi, I'm Jameson Price.
Hi, I'm Sean Chiplock.
You are listening to Two Dads.
Two dads. A couple of dads on a podcast.
Yes, I feel powerful.
Welcome.
Breaking it down through all of that.
Welcome. Welcome back. We're here. We're doing it again. We are. Yes.
I forgot I'm allowed to talk.
You are. I do give you permission to do that this time.
I'm happy to be back here.
I am very happy to be back too.
I've got my things.
Same. I moved from my office upstairs down into the basement. A lot more room, a lot more space.
You got more space. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I can't wait to get to your space and do stuff like cards and stuff.
Yeah, that's going to be
fun. That'll be fun.
That'll be a lot of fun. But that's not what this is about. We are starting up again with a more structured take on the podcast, and I'm kind of excited. Yeah.
We're giving it some thought.
Where we're starting with this time around is we're doing Two Dads Take on Dads.
Let's be honest. The making a list is always fun.
Checking it twice is even more.
We'll do some lists, I'm sure, again. But what are we good at? What are we best at in life? Well, okay. What do we do in life with most of our time?
We're dads.
Don't get yourself in trouble by answering
down
that.
There.
Dads. Yeah.
Two dads.
So we're gonna do a dad thing. This was your idea, by the
way.
Tip the cap. You know.
So we're doing Two Dads Take on Dads, and we're not fighting other dads on camera. As fun as that would be.
No.
What we're doing it
in we've got another Two Dad Takes on Dads that is for our OnlyFans page.
Yeah,
it's a different type
completely
of taking
separate.
On dads.
Yep. It's our take on other dads in media, in video games, in anime, and anything else that we can think of. The stuff that we love, there's dads all over the place. And so what we want to do is we want to look at them and make ourselves feel better because they're terrible at being dads.
Yep. So we have a format for this, and it is going to be a history of the character and their parenting in the past. We're going to identify their parenting style. We've got a parenting breakdown.
Yeah. There's a few different breakdowns. There's the 4 style breakdown, and then there's the like 12 style breakdown. We're going to use kind of a blend of both.
Yeah, because there's, I don't know, it gives us more options.
Blend them together.
We're gonna mostly be talking about our take on that, but you know, maybe if some cheekiness, you know, advocate it, or maybe highlight some good things every now and then if we can.
If we can.
Yeah.
This is all about making us feel better about our own parenting styles. Let's be honest.
We're gonna break down ultimately how their parenting style affected their kid or kids. And then we're going to label them.
Yeah.
Good dad, bad dad.
Good dad, bad dad. Wow. It doesn't have to be black and white like that, but it'll be in that general rule of thumb of were they good? Are they good? Were they bad? Are they bad? So, you know, past, present, potential future, you know, how we think that's going to be. So I'm excited.
Right.
So tell us, who are we? Continue, please.
We picked a good one today to start with.
Yes, yes.
Like, there's depths here. There's depths on depths on depths. And we started with the anime. We started with an anime that's premiering, re-premiering soon.
Very soon.
New season with My Hero Academia. And we're going to talk about NG Todoroki or Endeavor.
Endeavor.
Quirk, Hellflame.
What a badass name that is, too.
I know. It really, like, it tees up his personality perfectly.
Oh, yeah. So a little history on NG. He is a dad. And
thanks.
He's got kids.
That's a good one.
More than sorry, I couldn't help myself there. I couldn't help myself, okay?
He's, for the longest time, by the way, straight up top, spoiler alerts. This whole episode's going to be one massive spoiler.
Spoilers.
Because we were both fully caught up, and we will be taking this up to current.
Yes.
Current anime days.
And anime. We're not doing manga. I am fully caught up on manga. Felix doesn't read.
So I'm legally not allowed to. So Inji Todoroki or Endeavor, he is the number two hero. And for
number two,
most of his life, he is
my boy
two.
Right here.
And we got so
All Might.
All Might, symbol of peace and justice in the world. So Endeavor's whole life is pretty much driven by his insane obsession
with being the best.
All Might.
Yeah. He wants to be the best. He wants to beat All Might. And yeah, he cannot do that. It's not possible for him to do.
Before his parenting style, down to his arranged marriage with a ice quark family.
Yes.
So that
so in the world of My Hero, it's illegal to have kids just to make them have better quirks. Like it's something they've thought of. You're not supposed to do it, but there's ways to get around that. And of course, the man who's obsessed with beating All Might and being the number one hero, he wants to have a kid who can do that for him when he inevitably cannot.
Yeah, it's called the singularity theory in this world where the quirks are going to get so badass that eventually, you know, doom and gloom will happen.
Doom.
So Endeavor is trying to create a perfect warrior with this, and so he gets an arranged marriage
with Rey,
ice family.
Rey, who has ice powers, and they start pumping out kids.
And like four of them in total.
Would have been more, to be honest. But
You're starting from you got Toya. I forget the daughter's name. She's unimportant. You got Natsu.
Fuyumi. Natsu.
Fuyumi.
And Shoto.
Natsu and Shoto. Todoroki.
So the oldest is Toya. Then you have Fuyumi. Then Natsuo. And then Shoto. Shoto is the youngest of all of them.
And he is his perfect warrior.
Yeah. So
in the end,
to be fair,
I didn't explain that part. Why? Sorry. I completely. Endeavor's biggest weakness is that as he gets powered up, as he expels heat, he literally starts to deteriorate his body.
Yes.
Yeah. He overheats essentially.
Hellfire. He covers himself in hellfire, and he becomes so hot that it goes past his heat resistance, essentially. And so the whole reason he did the ice marriage is to have a kid who can use that and the hellfire to counteract that and be super, super duper powerful.
That's the only thing holding him back from beating All Might in his mind.
Yes.
Little does he know.
So we'll start off a little bit with the history of his kids. And this is, again, major spoilers. Toya.
Yeah, because we can start with Toya.
Man, Toya, you feel bad for him, and then he ends up being a jerk, so, you know.
Yeah, he drove him insane, literally.
It literally drove him insane.
Toya's problem is he emits blue flames.
He has hotter fire than his father. He has hotter fire than Endeavor, and he grows stronger and stronger.
Flesh.
Yeah. Well,
spoiler, it's Dobby.
Yeah, it's Dobby. That's the major spoiler with this. But essentially what ends up happening is Toya is he seeks his father's acceptance and, you know, affection with this. So he does everything he possibly can to earn that from his father. And so at one point he goes out and he trains and practices, and pretty much everybody thinks he got so hot, he literally burned himself to death.
Yeah.
And that's what was believed for a very long time.
The crazy part is is with this, when you watch it, it doesn't seem like Enji was nearly as tough on Toya. It seemed like, if anything, Enji was a little hesitant with Toya because he understood how hot Toya could burn.
But he didn't have Toya didn't have that ice power to help him, so he didn't want to push him too far because he knew what was doing to him was only going to be worse with the kid. So there was a bit of hesitation there, like you said, but at the same time, he still pushed him too hard and wouldn't give him the affection that Toya sought.
And what I mean is, I don't think I think with how like cold and heartless he is.
Yeah.
I think he accidentally gave the wrong message to Toya that he wasn't intending to give to Toya, because he was super proud of Toya. A lot, you know, always. But you know, if as fathers, you tend to forget. The message that you're sending across visually is not always the same as the message that you're trying to send internally. So with the middle two, there's not much on how the interactions with him as a parent went, other than they really weren't much.
Yeah, they didn't inherit the abilities that he sought in a child. So he didn't really care about them. He was cold. He was distant. He didn't care.
Not to quoted calling him a maniac bastard was his description.
Yeah. Of, at least once.
and really, the coldness and the distance shows once Shoto enters in, because he literally prevents Shoto from interacting with these inferior.
Yeah, Shoto was the masterpiece. Shoto inherited. Mm-hmm. The ice and the fire. His Shoto's power is literally half ice, half fire. Like, it's super original naming convention there.
Half hot, half cold.
It's great. It's just as in depth and good as Hellfire. It's great.
Yeah.
So he inherited exactly what Endeavor was looking for. And so he, like you just said, he separated him from the rest of his family entirely. He wasn't allowed to interact with his brothers and sisters. He grew up isolated and being trained
him
hard. And I mean, hard training to perfect his ability. And of course, and all that does
emotional and physical abuse. This training, because it's not all just like, well, I'm going to beat the crap out of you to strengthen you up, because there is that. But then there's also the emotional, psychological abuse of criticizing, tearing down.
You're not good enough unless you are perfect. And
yeah,
there's very much a lot of that.
And also a son, a youngest son, not seeing the rest of his family and being confused as to why, you know. Why is he singled out? Because that can send mixed messages also. You know, being singled out can be you're being singled out because you're not good enough.
Or you're being singled out because you are superior, and that could give you a superiority complex above all other people as well. So, like, there's so many things that go into this. Yeah. Like we said earlier, there's so many layers and depth to this evolution of a character with Enji, because now we've got Shoto, and Shoto is we hit the masterpiece. And he's been raised, he's been homeschooled, he's been all this up until we end up meeting Shoto at UA during the entrance exams. That's where we see him for the first time. And he definitely has this air about him of, I am better than
confidence,
you.
Confidence, bro.
Confidence. I'm better. Confidence. I'm number one. Nobody can beat me. I'm perfect.
So I'd say, before we get too deep into next steps, I say we should just break down what we think of the parenting style up to here. Because there's definitely some evolution in the series.
Definitely.
For sure.
Definitely. So to start off, the number one, in my opinion, is definitely strict.
So yeah, I've got disciplinarian right there. Right after that, I have authoritarian, and this is more of the separating the family. The family is dictated by my rules. My last one, I have high achievement.
High achievement? I think it's it's the, more than the intensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because high achievement, it doesn't necessarily have a good or bad connotation to it. Obviously, in this scenario, it's a bad.
Here.
It leads to bad things, but he's definitely seeking high.
Break down what these are. So we'll start high achievement because my list is slightly different in yours, but for the same reasons, like they overlap heavily. But high achievement is you are pushing your kids as far and as far as you can and as much out of their comfort as possible so they can achieve higher goals.
Yeah,
that's really what that boils down to.
There's a good way of doing this. There's a good way of having high standards and achieving those. That doesn't put too much undue stress on the child and can also motivate. You got to do it with some motivation. You know, you got to make sure they understand why you're trying to help them achieve these goals. And really, it should be their goals, not yours.
So my other two, because I had a high achievement on mine as well, my other two, strict. Rules reign supreme. Rules are all that matter. And you follow my rules or you don't have a place here. And that kind of goes into the authoritarian and then traditional. The parents are in charge. Kids are expected to obey. Parents are in charge. Nobody has a say. Kids are meant to be seen and not heard, essentially.
Right. Yep. And for me, because that's part of it for sure. And that one would be a little bit lower down, only for the fact because he is doing this for the purpose of putting his child on a pedestal towards the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Later, so, but not on a pedestal to listen to what this kid has to say, but to, I made this. This is me.
This is all a means to an end for him, you know? Which is not the so let's jump back into the series
jump back in. So we meet Shoto. We meet the masterpiece at UA, and he has, like we said, this air of superiority, and this comes from that isolation.
By the fact that he is one of four that are in on recommendation.
Yes. And he is on the number one recommendation. So essentially, he's getting into this no matter what. And then you see him use his powers, and he's strong, he's powerful, but he's cold and distant, just like his father.
Yeah.
Against even, he sees people as lesser beings to himself. Everyone is lesser to him. And it's exactly the way his father is, except
when you go into season 2 to season 3 and you're actually revisiting some of these scenes in his head, he's not exactly necessarily thinking that these are lesser than him. He just doesn't give a flying.
He doesn't care
anything because he is so singularly focused as well on just proving his father wrong, proving that he can do it with just his ice side.
And that's like you part pointed of, out,
he's so much like his father, and he would hate to be told that because he's so singularly focused.
Yes. So pulling this back into, because this is two dads take on dads, not judge the kids because the kids are just a product of their environment, which we don't know Endeavor's childhood, but we know him as an adult and he sucks. So we have this going on, and we eventually get to a point where Shoto is openly against his father.
Yeah. So this really blossoms season 2. The episode is Shoto Todoroki Origins is the name of the episode. It's starting in the tournament where they're fighting. This is the students, pretty much like Olympics for the UA to show off their students. And they're entering the tournament phases of this. And this is where you get a lot of the, well, as the episode hints, origins of Shoto Todoroki.
What?
Yeah.
Which also gives a lot of depth and background and history to Enji, because it shows that relationship of Shoto and Enji growing up, and how abusive. You really get a good depth to how abusive it truly was.
Abusive to Shadow, abusive to the other kids, abusive to his wife. It's all... And
abusive to the family in such a way that it drove his wife to hate Shoto, hate her own child because of what Inji turned him into.
Yeah, and she doesn't even realize she's hating him half the time because she's just seen Endeavor. She's just seen Inji.
Yep.
You know, she's not seeing her child. It's not, you know, because when she does see him as Shoto, she's obviously in love with her child. But then, you know, later on, she just throws boiling water on him
and then realizes she fucked up afterwards. Now she got sent to a mental hospital and, you know.
Yeah. Inji did that.
Yeah, Inji did that because he's a jerk. He sucks. Moving forward to where things really start to change. So we get to see that abusiveness. We get to see how he is and just reiterating everything we've talked about so far. But eventually... It
starts season five.
Yes, it starts to shift pretty drastically, very quickly, in my opinion.
And heavily in the episode Vestiges is really the first episode where they are all sort of coming together as a family. You really start to see the other two kids. And obviously, that's where you get a lot of Natsu's rhetoric, where he's just
expressing his hatred. Father. He hates him.
Yeah.
And
it then fleshes out fully in two other episodes. I'll touch on the names real quick, and then you can dive into the details. It's the Hellish Todoroki Family, parts 1 and 2. One part is in season 5. The second part is in season 6. And these are two of the best episodes in the entire, all 6 seasons that have been put out so far.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. These are the episodes where we learn more about Toya.
Yeah, so
okay.
They touch on it, I think, in part 1, and then part 2 is right in the middle of Dobby coming out and saying that he is who he is. So but really, in the season 5, they kind of touch on the fact that they had Toya and he was driven, because that was Natsu's big thing, is saying you killed Toya, basically.
You killed him. This point, everybody believed that Toya was dead. They truly believed that Toya died. So, in a sense, he did drive Toya to kill himself because he wanted that affirmation. He wanted the affection and love of his father. And the only way to get it was through power.
Yeah.
And so we'll reverse back a little bit, because eventually... Inji starts to shift a little bit once it's revealed that All Might is retiring.
Yeah,
so it really, that's where it starts to make a little bit of a shift, and you start to see the wheel is in motion of Inji coming to grips with, oh shit, I've been a horrible person.
Yeah, I think personally that All Might is directly responsible for that shift. And it's because on the episode at the end of season 4, where Shoto and Bakugo are basically babysitting these little kids who are being hellions to their teacher.
Yeah, that's a fun episode.
They're in the stands talking, and that's where Endeavor asks All Might, what does it mean to be a symbol? And All Might's answer, it's like it struck a nerve with Inji. And from then on out, he's like a different person. And
so
like
he starts,
it's almost like a light switch being flipped.
And so you start that. It gets switched, and he starts thinking and reflecting and realizes he screwed up. He drove his family away. He has nothing but his own power. And even that... Yep. isn't good enough for him anymore, because now he'll never get to prove that he is stronger than All Might, because there'll never be that chance again, because All Might's done.
Right.
So he starts to shift.
Number one, he got what he wanted.
He got what he wanted.
Was it worth it?
But
you know,
he realizes that's not what he really wanted. And so he does start to shift. He starts to atone. At one point he buys a home for his family to live in without him, so they could be happier.
And he's very this part of parenting, I think, is where he really is hitting on all cylinders, because he's not trying to force a thing. One episode I just got done watching, he's so excited because he finally got Shoto's phone number. You know, Shoto finally gave him his phone number.
Yep.
And he's texting him all day without a response. And he's just so pissed off that he's not getting a response from Shoto. And his flames are shooting out, and he's like angry at himself, as he should be.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Isn't he in school? Yeah. He starts to atone. And that's the big thing, is whether his kids accept his atonement or not, he tries. And that's something that is really hard for a lot of people who are like Inji, especially as they get older. A lot of people will just dig their hole even deeper. They'll just go all in and have no care for the world, where he realizes
crocodile tears. Yeah. You'll get apologies where you're really not seeing the effort being made.
He really steps up and he tries to make this change. And that's where things really start to move. We see him interacting with his kids more. We see him fighting for people instead of himself. And that's one of the biggest changes we see in him, is he's not trying to fight to show he's powerful. He truly, like you had mentioned earlier, stepping up in what is it like to be a symbol. He realizes that that is what he needs to be. Even if people don't accept him for it right away, that's the moment, the motion that he needs to take and move towards that symbol.
And I love the family dynamic. I mean, obviously, well, I'll side note, because this, I don't have a place to put this in any of this episode, except for the fact that I love the fact that he's constantly, even before he's made this change, through his entire life, after their mother is institutionalized, he leaves her favorite flowers in her room every week.
Yep. So there is that level, like, he does know, he does realize, but he doesn't know how to take that next step. But eventually he starts taking those steps, which is huge. So
the family dynamic is perfect, because you have the sister who is very much trying to be the mediator, very much still loves her father even through all this, and loves her family and wants to see them all together. You have the middle son who very much is rolled as the middle son. You know, he hates his father.
Yep.
He's got so much emotion towards his father. Then you have Shoto, who just has no emotion.
No emotion.
For none. Most of it.
And, the thing with Natsu, too, is at one point, we mentioned big spoilers, at one point in one of the episodes, he gets held hostage.
Kidnapped, yeah.
By a villain. And Inji hesitates in saving him, because there's an internal battle, because he thinks that if he saves him, his son will never forgive him.
Yeah.
And so eventually, like, his son gets saved.
And then he's being kidnapped. And it's NG's fault, too, because it was a villain that NG didn't kill.
Yeah.
And he wants to be killed by NG.
Yeah. I mean, the villain's name is literally Ending. So, you know. But so you have all this going on. But then after that, that's one of the first times you actually see emotion from Inji to one of his kids. He embraces Natsu. He hugs him.
Almost forgives in that moment. Almost.
And then after, with Dobby being revealed as Toya, Inji literally, he breaks down. He fell into tears. He cries because he realizes he's the one who drove his child into one of the worst villains they have ever seen.
Yeah. And I love Shoto's take, because Shoto is very level-headed, as always, and calm. And obviously, you know, in the scene where Endeavor gets massively injured by this Nomu, it was the first or second episode of season 5.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up with that big scar down his face. While he's getting pummeled by this Nomu, you know, all three of his kids have a reaction.
Yep.
And they're all...
Not all of them
care as much, but
they're all rooting for him.
Right. When they think he's maybe has been killed, there you visibly see them all sink, you know. So it's this crazy dynamic going on currently in the series where things are getting worked out. And, you know, if you have an endeavor in your life, if you have an engine in your life, you understand all these emotions better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this series could be triggering and you might not know how to react when you see him, because you may have an engine in your life that never really followed through with the good side of things, with the forgiveness, redemption side of things.
Well, and that's one of the
hard.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that Inji really did. He stepped up and he even had that press announcement after it was revealed to the world that Dobby was his kid. And he realized like his hero career essentially at that point was doomed.
Yeah.
He not going to recover from this if he didn't make huge changes. And so he comes out and he essentially resolves and says, I am going to continue fighting to make things right, both with the hero world and my family.
Yeah. So I think with listeners of this episode, there's bound to be mixed emotions. You know, should somebody who has done that much atrocity, are they redeemable?
Should they be forgiven?
Should they be forgiven? Exactly.
It's not an easy question to answer.
It's not an answer you or I can make.
Nope. The only people who can make that answer for people like Angie, for like you said, the endeavors in your life, are the people who are directly involved and affected by them.
Yeah.
People on the outside can look in and be like, oh, what a jerk, and just never talk to him and never do anything or interact. But
I think we've given one of our most well-researched breakdowns in the history of doing this podcast with this episode.
Yes, I agree. This one was fun. This was good.
I do like it. So how do you think it affected their kids, Tired Dad? Because I'm going to be honest. You know, you go from not to up, mixed bag. But you tell me Shoto didn't fucking turn out pretty level-headed and cool. Like,
yeah.
I mean, from all the crap he's gone through, he turned out pretty okay.
But
I mean, he can make friends.
That's because Deku was more of a dad to him. Let's be honest here. Daddy Deku was the one who helped him out with that.
Sure, he's still a little walled off emotionally, but you know. Now, the daughter, and I continue to forget her name, is probably the most well-adjusted of all of them. Obviously,
but I think that's because Fuyumi didn't really have the power. She was never a contender to be the masterpiece. So she was just kind of left to her own devices.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously Toya, whoops. and then Natsu seems like a pretty good kid despite, and he's based on his anger issues. I'm sure it will affect him if and when he ever becomes a father. I'm sure it'll affect every relationship he has. So how did it affect the kids? That's how it affected the kids.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a good dad or?
No. I mean, the bottom line is no, he's not a good dad. Is he making the right steps? Yes. He is. Late. You know, some people would say too late, where there is no redemption for him, despite how hard he tries. But the fact is, there are so many people out there that aren't even willing to try. And so with him realizing he messed up and wanting to atone and wanting to be accepted that, hey, I know I screwed up. I want to be there for you now. So many other people would just leave. They wouldn't be there. Yeah. They wouldn't even attempt. So is he a good dad? No. But
no.
Can he be a good figure in their life eventually? Sure. He can be there and be an example of what not to do, what not to be in their kids' lives if they ever grow to have their own children.
Yeah, because nobody's useless. They can always be used as a bad example at the very least.
Exactly. Exactly.
I agree. No, he's not a good father. You know, but always agree. You know, I'm not always a good father either. I'm sure you have those, sure, those days where you feel like you're not always a good father.
You know, you snap too quickly, you get a little angry.
We haven't driven any of our kids to burn themselves in a fiery rage.
No, no.
So we're doing pretty good. No,
my son happens to want me to hug him forever right now. So
no scars, you know, on any of our kids, nothing. Yeah, no physical.
I mean, none that we've given them. Now, you know, them with their own devices, that's a whole different story.
So I feel good that we are definitely better fathers than Ng.
Yep.
he's definitely not a good dad. I agree. I like the redemption arc. Yes, like his
character. I very much like that.
I like the redemption arc not for him. I like the redemption arc for his kids' sakes.
Yes.
For Shoto's sake.
For I like it. Them to finally get a father they wanted.
And get some closure.
And yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. So there it is. There it is. That's the first two dads take on dads. Ng Todoroki, Endeavor, not a good dad.
I'm sorry we talk so much.
I'm not.
This was a good one. No, I liked it. Yeah, so, Endeavor, our vote.
Yep, that's about right.
You got a button for that?
I don't. I can get a button for that, though. If you really want me to get a button for that, I can. I can get like a cheer, like yay!
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll use the grunt birthday party from Halo. You know, the yay!
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So that's our vote.
That's our vote. And as we always do,
next time on Two Dads and a Podcast,
we are
next time
take on another dad. I don't know that we've thought that far ahead just yet. We have lots of options. We have so many that we've talked about: anime, video games, comics. There's so many dads out there who are great dads, bad dads, and everywhere in between. And we are so excited to talk about it.
Yeah. So we'll take on a dad. Eventually, we're going to take on just teasers. Eventually, we're developing ideas to take on, you know, how we would raise children that were raised without dads.
Yeah.
We're exploring options on some other debates. And then, you know
what would we do in these situations where the kids are without their parents? They're getting into all these hijinks and crazy shenanigans and dangerous situations.
Enslaving monsters into tiny balls and all that.
Yeah. You know, we always wanted to do, but we never got a chance.
And we're bitter about it. So we're going to take it out on our little Ash.
Hey, spoilers, man. Spoilers.
What?
We did say spoilers at the beginning of the episode.
Did thoughts become outside thoughts again?
But thanks so much for listening, guys. Thanks so much for tuning back in. We're excited to be back, and I can't wait to post another one.
Yeah, this dude's tired dad.
This dude is Felix the Human, and we'll see you next time, y'all. Guys.